We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does, for sure.
She does?
I don't, it means this kid, man.
Wouldn't that be great?
Dude, man, I'm telling you. The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, hey, you gotta have a boy. UNV gotta have a boy, man. You have somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oh, I got this. You know, boy for that, I got this. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got this.
See any of the video? She's good.
No, she was good, and he was. I liked some of the techniques he was teaching him, teaching her a bunch of his old moves.
Push off,
the push off. Yep. Yeah, you know, the fall away, the fade away. I mean, listen. I mean, I don't know. It's you're not going to find people getting over this in any hurry.
No,
period.
No,
you know, especially people in California. I don't know what you want to do, but I want to grab this guy Mike real quick.
Let's go to Mike in California. Hello, Mike.
Hey guys. So I'm out here, and you can definitely feel it. You can tell that he meant a lot to the city. I'm originally from Boston. And the same way I feel is like when the Boston bombings happened, you know, out here, it didn't really resonate with people. But for me, it hit home. And I think you're seeing that out here. But I think a big part of the problem right now is we have older people and millennials trying to mix. And it seems like it's oil and water. And part of it is we got to live with each other for the next 40, 50 years. And we keep trying to fix problems, but nobody's coming up with solutions. And one of them that bothers me is, you know, we have freedom of speech, and I just don't hear that anymore. And instead of deleting a tweet or apologizing, why aren't we saying, you know, this is freedom of speech, and this is what people fought for? You have that opportunity because of the people before us. And I feel like younger kids nowadays, they just don't care about the people that came before us. I'm 41, and I was taught to, you know, look, you know, appreciate the elders, and you have to grow up and you have to learn. I'm hoping as the millennials get older and they start, you know, going out in the real world, they'll understand a little bit more about this.
But it's but you know, I don't want to put it all on the millennials either, though, Mike. I mean, there's a lot of people my generation and older who believe it's okay. You know, you should have an opinion. They believe in freedom of speech as long as they agree with your opinion.
True. It's just where have we come where it's, you know, everybody's afraid to say something. You know, you might say something in public but feel different. It's just this information world, it's going really fast. It's just tough because we have a long time with each other. Something has to give. And part of it is just appreciating the ones that came before you. Now, the older guys that you're talking about, Lou, I get it, but I think they're just afraid from where the world has come. But I just wanted to give my take and,
Mike.
Thanks.
Doing something they came out with. I think they've identified all nine now.
They have.
And I didn't know John Altobelli. You know, he's the head coach out there at the JUCO. I know he coached 3 years down the Cape League.
Brewster Whitecaps.
Yep. You know, and his wife, Carrie, and daughter, Alyssa, were on the plane as well. I think he has an older son, I think it's JJ, who is a scout for the Red Sox.
Right.
I just read that.
I didn't know that either.
I don't know if he still is or not. But, you know, this was a guy, too, apparently. I mean, the JUCO, you know, how much success they've had. And their daughters obviously played together. That's just a family. Mother, father, daughter. You know, it's just like, and there was some other names, too. I don't know them. I see them but online, but I'm not going to repeat the names because I don't know anything about them or if it's confirmed. But still. It's unbelievable. Whenever they said there was nine, you know, not five, you're just like, oh my God, people are on this thing. You see a picture of this helicopter?
Yeah.
It's
big.
I mean, it looks like it's something for, you know.
Well, it fits like up to like 13 to 15
people. It's enormous.
People.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he would lend that, I guess he would sublease it, sub rent it, however you would call it, to other people. because I saw a bunch of other, you know, pictures and, you know, old school Instagram posts of other stars using it, like Kylie Jenner, for example.
I think he was leasing it because it was...
Because he purchased it, obviously, for himself, but he wasn't using it as much as he was in the past.
And I noticed that it was listed under a different company name. Now, it could be his company name that he listed it under, but it was under a different aviation company. Abe is in Worcester. Hello, Abe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's good, up? Abe.
Not much. One moment. So, yeah, I've been hearing all day about this Kobe Bryant thing all over the media, tarnishing Kobe and whatnot, and especially Ken on the Greg Hill Show this morning. I was listening to that. Due to his past mistakes and legal issues, I believe we need to let that man rest in peace. People have to give his family privacy in a tough time like this. And they aren't giving this man the respect he deserves for giving us 15 years of greatness and being a true pioneer to the game of basketball. It's a shameful what people are doing.
Yeah, but isn't this normal, though, with any human being, especially of the celebrity status of Kobe Bryant? I mean, I would say 90% of this stuff, 95% of it, is adoring him and his life and what he brought to basketball. I mean, and so, but there's this one period, one incident in his life that people are just simply bringing up that it should be included in the overall history,
when they do the
overall bio.
When they do the movie of Kobe Bryant, it'll be in then bring it up, right, and then include it. But 5 hours after, 24 hours after, I think it goes both ways for me. People who are overly, you know, going nuts with trying to figure out how to recognize and honor him, and other people who go the other way that are trying to include every last aspect. It's almost like people who didn't like him or
want you to lash out at him.
They want
for
you,
this.
Yeah, they want you to say, hey, I know you guys love him. I know you want to honor him.
On
just
media.
So you know, right, he was kind of a dirtbag for a small part of his life. So just remember that when you leave flowers.
Right. And apparently you're playing the fence if you sit there and simply say it's part of his life. Nobody can sit there and, you know, erase it. You can't eliminate it from his life history.
Yeah, but you don't have to focus on it either.
Not in the first 24, 48, 72 hours. Might be a little bit too early. Let's let this thing breathe a little bit. Here's Dave and Lynn. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Dave.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about the helicopter itself. Have you guys ever been in a helicopter?
Yes.
A small helicopter?
I have.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Have you ever
Was he crazy about it?
I wasn't either.
No. Okay. All right. Well, you weren't crazy about it. Did any one of you guys ever sit up front where the pilot would sit?
No. Nope. I let him do his job. I don't want any distractions.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
What, I was in law enforcement. I got assigned to a task force unit that we would frequently do surveillances, frequently over Charlestown, but in a helicopter. And it would be a federal helicopter, an agency helicopter. And it's a different experience completely when you're up front, especially when you look at the guy next to you. He's the only one that knows how to drive a helicopter. I don't know how to drive it. I'm a surveillance guy. No one else on that helicopter knew how to operate that helicopter, I bet. Besides him, number one.
I think you're right.
And number two.
I think we know that.
And number two, more importantly, the guy that sat next to me was in the military. He had all sorts of flying time. Complete training. That machine was serviced every, faithfully, days, hours. And he trained in that machine constantly.
So excuse me, Dave, but what is your point related to the Kobe Bryant crash?
A little exaggerated. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get your point, though.
I don't think he had enough training. I don't think he had enough experience.
Okay. I don't know that.
And he shouldn't have been out.
It was an older helicopter in 1991. Built in 1991. Yep. Okay. Yep. I don't know about the maintenance record.
The pilot was more than qualified.
That's what I heard.
And the helicopter had a long safety record. And so it's not like this is some junk pile of a helicopter. Well, here's the other thing I want to ask you. When it comes to, I guess, you know, moments like this, there's a list of stars that had this unbelievable following. And when they passed, tragically, okay, there was this same outpouring of support and love and just, you know, condolences. John Lennon, Princess Diana. Michael Jackson. I would add Kobe Bryant into that mix. I'm not saying they're the same. I'm not even saying they're similar, but the way they died and the way that they were mourned for. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, I think it's. I
what
think,
do you think?
Hold
it's
on, I think
happen?
It's different. The no, Diana one was in a car crash.
It
okay?
was. Hold on, but don't stop. It's tragic, sudden. No one expected it. In the prime of her life, young kids.
Yeah, but
John
don't we have
Lennon
to, don't
shot.
We have to, don't we have to keep like drugs and stuff out yeah. of this? Because we can look at.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. As far as
Doc Holliday was it a couple years ago.
As far as icons in the United States, people
but
that
he's not an icon.
Who?
Roy Halladay.
No. I'm talking.
And he was writing one of those stupid little things.
Right. If you remember, if you,
safety records not good.
If you remember Michael Jackson's funeral, hey, obviously Muhammad Ali, even though that was a long drawn out process and people were more expecting, it wasn't tragic and sudden. Princess Diana, but sudden. John Lennon, sudden.
But there were a lot of questions. We're sitting here talking about one incident that we know of back in 2003 with Kobe Bryant. Do we want to talk about Michael Jackson and
no,
the history
I'm
there?
No, I'm not talking about...
It's okay, a little bit
I'm
different.
Not talking, I'm not including that. I'm talking about the effect of the death and how it affected other people and how people are responding to it. People not going to work. People calling in sick, not being
like I'm, well,
Kyrie,
this is, like
well, Kyrie. This is the reality of it. Right. I remember the same thing with Michael Jackson. I remember the same thing with Princess Diana. Like how crazy it went, how the world responded. Now, Kobe Bryant has a national, more than just a national, has a world appeal.
Right.
From China to Europe to America, you name it. I mean, there's a long, long track record of him just being part of people's lives. So that's all I'm saying. Like that to me, this is in that same category.
The suddenness of it.
Yeah, yeah I mean it. Those three people.
Yeah, because you look at it and you say, especially with Kobe Bryant, and certainly, you know, I guess you could say it with Princess Diana. The Michael Jackson thing is a little bit different because there were a lot of health issues. There were a lot of stuff going on.
Right. You didn't know. I know. Keep dissecting it.
But there's a difference.
That's not what I'm talking
about.
But
this one is.
No one knew Michael Jackson was going to die.
Yeah.
No one thought he was going to die. No one knew he was taking drugs like crazy to keep himself going.
I think the Michael Jackson one is a little bit more.
You thought he was going to drive I say one thing to you, and you, honest to God,
I think there's a difference.
Like crazy,
but you're right in what you're saying about the sudden thing. So if somebody had told you that somebody was going to die this weekend, and it's coming out
of the world is in shock. It's more of a world. Issue.
I would agree.
Because how did it happen? And how did it happen just like that? And he's on a helicopter, which, as we said earlier on the program, they're very safe. It you know, and suddenly, wham, just like that, he's gone. I mean, it's amazing when you see somebody and you see life just perish just like that. Dan's in Roslindale. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. So I have a question for you, hopefully. I don't know the answer to it, but hopefully you guys can shine some light on it. So, you know, Kobe just passed away. This is unbelievably tragic, and my heart is broken, and I'm a Boston guy. And, you know, people bringing up the rape allegations. Now, he was in the news the whole week before about to pass LeBron on the all-time scoring list, and I don't think anyone brought up the rape allegation the whole previous week. So why the difference? Why bring it up when he dies? Why not bring it up for another newsworthy reason? I mean, it's not like Kobe Bryant went into hiding the last whatever, he's out there.
He broke his scoring. I mean, he went past him in the scoring records in the NBA. I mean, you're not going to dissect the life of Kobe Bryant after, you know, at that moment, are you?
No, it was more about LeBron.
No, so I'm just kind of, what I'm just saying is all the little twerps who want to bring up the rape thing, why wait till he dies? Why not bring it up the last week when he was also in the news? You know, why? Again, I don't know the answer. I'm hoping you guys can help shine some light on it.
Because you're not looking back at the life of Kobe Bryant last week. I don't understand. I was just saying. I mean, do you guys disagree?
No, it happened the night before.
Like LeBron, the night before.
Not the week. It was the night before.
The night before. LeBron James broke his record. It's about LeBron James.
Yes.
It's not about Kobe Bryant.
Right.
And that's not the time to sit there and break down. Well, let's go through the life of Kobe Bryant. He just passed away. People are going through the life of Kobe Bryant.
No, you go through the
again,
life of LeBron
James.
Again,
I think it's
James.
Too soon to kind of go there and to talk about it. I know we have here. We've kind of danced around it. People calling to want to talk about it. But, yeah, I believe it's too soon. That's all. I think it's too soon. The guy, you know, people are out there mourning his death and everything he did for the game of basketball. For now, I think you should keep it that way.
All right, the Red Sox have come out with a statement And we'll read that for you coming up as well. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
You know, he means a lot to me, obviously. You know, he was such a great opponent. It's what you want in sports. He had that DNA that very few athletes can ever have. You know, the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordans. I was getting to know him more since he retired. You know, this is a tough one. I mean, we have to go play. The news is just so devastating for Vanessa and his family, and there's just so many people he touched. I mean, this is just shocking news for all of us, and sorry I don't have a lot to say. I just can't. I have to go talk to a team before a game and tell them to play a game.
That is Doc Rivers before the Clippers game last night. I heard a lot more of that, and he really had difficulty getting a word out. And there were like 15, 20 seconds where he's just crying and he can't get a word out, and he had to go talk to his team beforehand. You got a lot of that last night from a lot of these different players. How about this one from Tracy McGrady, who was just on The Jump here just moments ago on ESPN?
This sounds crazy, but Kobe spoke this. He spoke this. He used to say all the time, I want to die young.
And really?
I thought he was he used to say, I want to die young. I want to be immortalized. And, you know, I want to have my career be better than Michael Jordan, and I want to die young. And I just thought he was just so crazy for saying that.
Are we buying this?
Jesus.
I want to die young?
I don't know. I don't know if he really meant it as far as like, hey, I want to die and leave my kids without a father. I don't think I think that being immortalized and the idea of that is probably was pretty attractive to him. The only way to achieve that is by dying tragically.
Do you have thoughts like that before you have a family? Because I would imagine any father sitting there saying, I like to die young. I don't care who you are. You know what I mean?
I almost think this thing is irresponsible of Tracy McGrady.
And I
question whether Kobe ever said, I want to die young. Now, he might have thought maybe he will die young. You guys know the story because we talked about it when we had Bird on here a couple months ago. But Larry, throughout his entire life, always thought he would die young.
But he didn't want to.
He didn't want to die young to be immortalized.
To be on every mural and every,
But he thought so, and I think part of it was from information that might be accurate, might not be accurate, but he came up with this whole idea that people that are above 6'7" die a lot younger.
And
he thought
like a big dog.
Right. And he thought that because of his the size of his body, he was going to die early. He didn't want to die. But Tracy McGrady, can we play this again? Because this is a little bit
It's bugging
out there.
You a little bit, isn't it?
I think it's a little irresponsible. Again, we talk about, you know, 24, 48 hours after the guy has passed away.
This sounds crazy, but Kobe spoke this. He spoke this. He used to say all the time, I want to die young.
And really?
I thought he was crazy. He used to say, I want to die young. I want to be immortalized. And, you know, I want to have my career be better than Michael Jordan, and I want to die young. And I just thought he was just so crazy for saying that.
It makes him sound a little selfish.
I would like some context in that. I would like to know, are you guys messing around in the locker room, on the plane? Yeah, man, right. Man, right. Listen, I want to die young. Man, listen, everybody will love me. They'll write songs about me.
Wait a minute. That's not the way he's transmitting it to TV.
I know, but he said it. No. He spoke this. He used to say this all the time.
What is the context?
Which leads me to believe. That's what I want to know.
Is he laughing? Are we joking about it? Hey, I'd love to be immortalized. I want to die young.
I want a mural of myself. I want Hollywood sign out there, and then I want Kobe out there also.
So the problem is he's wiping tears off of his face. He's crying.
Like he got his wish. Like it came to be. Like he spoke it into existence.
Am I the only one that thinks this is totally irresponsible of Tracy McGrady doing this?
I have no clue. I don't know what the conversation was. Like you said, I mean, obviously he feels strong enough to say it. You know, I don't think he's making it up. You know, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how somebody with four kids would ever sit there and say, yeah, I want to. Not I might, like you're talking about. Larry Bird is always like, you know, not too many seven-footers walking around. Like he said to us in an interview, thought maybe he would die young. But I want to die young. I got four kids. No father would ever say that. I don't think.
I just think if you're right, Christian. The context could be that Kobe said it when they were joking around. Hey, I want to be better than Jordan, and I'll die young, and then I'll be immortalized, you know, as the greatest ever. But that's not the context. The guy just died. He's sitting there now conveying the as he's
crying. And hold on,
but
can't you also see that he could have said that before he had kids?
That's what I'm saying. Before you have kids.
Before he has kids, before he's kind of understands what.
But you said his oldest is 17, right?
His oldest is 17.
So early in his career, 23 years old, I want to be greater than Michael Jordan.
And McGrady's been around for a while.
21, 22, 23-year-old kid. No kids. I get it. Four kids running around saying, I hope to die young? No. So the timing of this thing, like Tracy McGrady, I don't know, when did it happen? Was it, like you said, was it 20 years ago? You know, when he was a young kid coming out, 21, 19, 21. He's in the NBA, what, 17? So early in his career, I get it. Dreams to be Jordan, better than Jordan. Was he saying this as a 35, 36-year-old father? I doubt it.
Listen, I find a lot of people that are asked questions about the death of Kobe Bryant, and that's what the media is doing. I watched a lot of stuff out of Los Angeles Live on local TV, and the news people were taking over and obviously very emotional about it. And they're interviewing players and interviewing people and media people and whatever, and everybody's got their Kobe Bryant story, and everybody is kind of making it about themselves in giving the Kobe Bryant story. I think Tracy McGrady's doing the exact same thing, but I'm floored at what he just did. If he did it in
I think today when you hear people, you know what I mean, they're going back and they're talking about the life because it's, you know, the next day. But that was tough for a while there, like an hour into it, right? Did you guys see the Amari Stoudemire interview out of Israel?
Yes.
Like he had found out he couldn't speak, and they just kept the microphone in front of him. And he's like,
for 3 minutes.
I don't know what to say. 3 minutes, kept the mic there. I'm like, Jesus, like just kind of walk away and be like, okay, I'll leave. Jay Williams, do you hear Jay Williams?
Yeah.
I mean, outstanding. This is a lot of the initial reaction that you saw on ESPN and other outlets, I guess.
His innate character, his being, his spirit was incredible. It was just incredible. And it's rare that I've been around a lot of people in my life, and every time I was around him, if that was through the Players Tribune, if that was through as a player, if that was through random workouts, there's something so damn uplifting about him. It just made you want to be better in every aspect of your life because that's who he was. And that's the standard of excellence that he held himself to all the time. And today's a tough day. Today's a hard day. And I hope that everybody at home, you give that person next to you whatever thing you have wrong in your life with them. If this might be small or big, let the go. It doesn't matter. I know I curse. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
None of that stuff matters, man.
So they loved him. Mm. It's obvious that players, generation to generation, because the old retired players were raving about him. People in his own generation that played with him were raving about him. The next generation, these young kids that are just, you know, first, second, third year players in the NBA, they're raving about him. They grew up watching him on TV. He was their hero. They all loved him. And the other thing, too, is a lot of people who have got to know him more since he retired have claimed that he was in a great place. That if anything, you know, he could be a pain in the ass, you know, because he was so particular about everything, probably what made him a great player, you know, sticking to detail. And, you know, being making everybody accountable, and that now that he's left the game, they claim that his demeanor is much different, that he's very at peace with himself.
So Jason Tatum, any word from Jason Tatum?
Yes. I saw stuff on social media with him.
Yeah, I didn't see anything because I saw, you know, Kemba Walker talked and, you know, Brad Stevens talked because...
Oh, Jason Tatum went on with a long Instagram.
Okay, but nothing post game, no pregame, no audio, right? Because because obviously he was
play in that game.
They were sitting there blaming Kobe Bryant. Was it last year, the year before that, for
mid-range.
Tatum, like mid-range jumper, mid-range follow-away, you know, like we're blaming him for that.
Well, he talked about him in the Instagram post I saw about him being a mentor and teaching him everything, and he had pictures with him as a little kid. The guy was well loved and well respected. I think there's no question about that. You're not hearing anybody come out and say anything about his character. Now, people are questioning what happened in Colorado. We've heard some of that. That's it, right? That's it. And again,
I can tell you right now that is the last thing that entered my mind.
A Colorado thing?
I didn't think about that. The lady from the Washington Post.
Right.
Who got reprimanded right away.
Right. Here's Joe. He's out in California. A lot of California calls today. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. First off, I had intended to want to bring up about John Altobelli because I hadn't heard you mention him.
We did.
But subsequently, when I was on hold, you had already done that. So I just want to change subject if I could. I know Lou and Christian aren't old enough to remember this, but for me, this is not dissimilar to the Roberto Clemente death.
I mentioned that earlier, Joe. It's very reminiscent. He was going back to his homeland, obviously, to deliver aid, and he went down in a plane crash.
Yeah, actually, not to correct you, but he was flying to Nicaragua after that earthquake there. He's from Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But anyway, the bottom line is I was 12 at the time, and he was my hero growing up. And clearly, difference in social media, internet, and worldwide, and he wasn't, you know, at the level of publicity and Q rating as Kobe Bryant. But to me, he was my idol. And I remember this awesome column by Jim Murray, who used to write for the LA Times. And it just broke my heart. Of course, at 12, you're different. But I was crying for like 3 days. And apparently a very, very loving man. Now they give the Roberto Clemente Award for service in MLB. So I just wanted to bring that up. That's sort of a personal connection to this. I was never a big Kobe fan, but I can see how people would feel that same way. And thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
We had the other guy calling from LA talking about, what do you say, it's like their Boston Marathon thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like out there, but, you know, the sadness level, I understand, but does it have the anger? Because I know in Boston, that's one of the emotions you felt. Angry. Right? Given what had happened on the Boston Marathon. But it's just, I understand what he's talking about, the shock, the sadness and everything, it doesn't have the anger.
Yeah, I'm sure the emotions are different. The sadness is there, but you're right. People were angry. Who did this? We need to get those people who did this. It's much different. I don't think anybody is saying that today. I mean, this stuff happens. We know it happens. There are plane crashes. There are helicopter crashes. There are car crashes. It happens. It's part of going out in the world every single day. You know, those things exist. Bobby's down in Florida. Hey, Bobby. Bobby.
Hey.
Okay. Hey, Bobby.
Nice talking to you, Bobby. Let's go to Ben. Ben's in Marlboro.
Hey, Glenn. You know, if
you grew up loving 80s basketball, you know, listening to the radio on 80s basketball, watching, you know, the rivalries, Bird, Magic, you know, Barkley, all those guys. Kobe represented the end of that. Kobe played that game. They don't have anybody like that anymore. Kobe, you know, I don't usually care much about celebrities or athletes. You know, we don't know them. But Kobe was different. And, you know, I'm a diehard Celtic fan. I love the NBA. I mean, and losing Kobe is tough. It hit me harder than I thought it would hit me because it's, you know, it's like losing a part of your youth. Losing somebody.
Well, it's a great player. That,
tremendous. And that was part of the other thing. You know, there were so many nights, so many barroom arguments about who's better, who's best. And, you know, I always defended Kobe. Kobe was always there with MJ, you know, not LeBron, any of these guys now. It was because Kobe represented that game, that competitive drive. Kobe didn't want to create his own team. You know, he went out there and he competed. He didn't take days off. He didn't care who. It was that mentality, that physical mentality. You know, and Glenn, we talked about this before, how that's actually much more WNBA game. And maybe that's why he loved that game so much as well, because that's how they play the game. But and to hear people say, like you said, making about themselves, you kind of stole my fire there, you know, making us about them. That's stupid. There's so many things to talk about Kobe. There's so many great moments, so many, you know, times, things he did that were incredible on the court. So many, that man hit so many crazy buzzer beating shots in playoff games. If you love this game, and I love this game, and Glenn, I love this game because of you, listening to you do radio with Johnny all those days in the 80s. If you love this game, you loved watching him play.
Listen, I get it, and he was a great player. And as I said earlier, what is he, the 11th, 12th, 13th greatest player to ever play the game?
You can't do that. You got to do by generations. The game changes. You can't take the game back from when Wilt and all those guys
heard
it's too hard to do that.
Yeah, but he's not. Is he a top five player overall in the history of the game? I don't believe he is. I think he's the third best Laker of all time. And I know I've already heard people today come out and say he's the greatest Laker of all time. It's because we're mourning his death right now. People are sad because he just passed away. It's awful what happened to him. Awful what happened to his daughter. But, you know, I'm hearing people say he's better than LeBron. He's not a better player than LeBron. LeBron, when it's all said and done, is going to be a higher number.
So who do you have above him? Magic and who? Kareem?
Yes. Yeah, I would say he's the third greatest. Is that fair?
I'm fine with that.
You're an LA guy. You're fine with that.
I'm fine with that, yeah. It is somewhat generational. You want to sit there and, you know, talk about he's a better athlete. It doesn't matter. I'll never. It's like when people talk about Bird. If you grew up a fan of Larry Bird, you know, watching his games.
Listening
it
to
does
Ordway
not
and Jerry Seasting on my.
What somebody else does in 2021, 2025. Right. They can break every single record. It will never change.
Well, it's like 20 years from now, another quarterback comes around.
Yeah.
And people in their mid-40s will sit there and say, I don't want to hear it. Brady was the greatest ever because I grew up with him. Right? And, I mean, you know, they'll have an argument, but I don't know. Maybe 20 years from now, somebody else will be going crazy in this league. It is generational. You know, I would still have Magic above him. But I totally understand people now, different generation, looking and saying, no, Kobe, because they didn't grow up with Magic or Kareem. They grew up with Kobe Bryant and Shaq. You know what I mean? Those Lakers. So,
yeah, but I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, for an example, if we're talking about greatest players, do you not think LeBron is a better player than what Kobe was? I do. I think he's a better player. But I'm hearing people now flip-flop it, and what they're doing is they're getting caught up in the mourning of losing Kobe Bryant. I understand that. We're you know, and it's a great loss. And he was a terrific player, but it doesn't change where he is on that list of greatest players or of greatest Lakers, right? Hmm. And that, I think people are going to do that because this is what we always do when we lose somebody. All right, we got a lot more to get to, and we'll do it coming up next.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we talked about the Pro Bowl game yesterday. Quite interesting. Drew Brees played in the Pro Bowl. You're 40 years old, 41 years old, right? And you're playing in the Pro Bowl and seemed to be having the greatest time of his life and talked about how important it was to really just maybe one more time just play with the fellas. I'm sitting there listening to some of these quotes. And then you see what's going on down in New Orleans, and they have a big number they have to hit of dead cap money, either way, whether he plays or whether he doesn't. And he's now going to sit around for the next month and talk to his family and figure out what he wants to do. I don't think I had ever heard retirement was in the conversation for Drew Brees, but apparently it's either New Orleans or retirement. He's already said he's not going anywhere else. Then we get Jay Glazer coming out with a story today out of Los Angeles that the Chargers have moved on from Phillip Rivers. Matter of fact, he's moved his entire family, we knew this a week ago, to Florida, and apparently has his sights set on a Florida team. It could be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So then you look at Tom Brady's situation, and you say, well, does Teddy Bridgewater, is he take over as the starting quarterback now in New Orleans? Because they were 5-0 when he was the quarterback this year, so maybe that happens. And then Joe Montana is asked an interesting question. What advice he would give to Tom Brady, the only player who has surpassed him in Super Bowl MVP awards, about possibly leaving the New England Patriots and signing with another team? Montana smiled and said, don't, if you don't have to. It's a process to go through, and it takes time to get used to the team. I was fortunate because Paul Hackett, former 49ers quarterbacks coach, was there running the offense. And so I was pretty familiar with probably three quarters of the offense going in. And if they let Brady have his own offense with the new team, yeah, that makes it a little bit easier. But still, the transition of moving, I just can't see how they would let him leave there myself. That's a question I brought up last week about if you don't have to, why do you leave New England? You said it's not about money, Christian. It's about having the people around you. New England still has one of the better chances of the 32 teams in the league. Of going to the Super Bowl next year. Yeah, they're going to be one of the top 5-6 teams. They're going to obviously do what everybody else is doing in the offseason.
You're assuming there's some additions, right?
Well, of course they're going to be. Okay. There are every year. We make changes and we add stuff. And obviously,
sounds like you don't agree with that, Christian.
No, I'm just playing off of what you said. You know, Lou and I were having this discussion, and you know, we've been discussing Drew Brees and you know what his options are, and the Saints are in a similar situation as the Patriots with this cap number. You mentioned it as far as like how they're tied to him. He signed a 2-year deal for $50 million, but theoretically it was really three, and then he restructured his contract last year, and all that money's coming due.
So if he plays next year, they have to add a lot more than Brady. By the way, they have to add $15.9 million. If he doesn't play next year, they have to add 21.3.
Well, the question that I asked both you guys during that break was, if you're Drew Brees, if you're a free agent quarterback, and it just made me think of Drew Brees, you know, like either be a Saint or retire, and the Saints don't want him, and the Patriots went after him. Like, where are the Patriots on the list of free agent quarterbacks? Forget about who you want. You're a free agent quarterback. Why do you want New England other than Bill Belichick?
Well, that's a big reason.
Okay,
well,
maybe that is the reason.
Because the odds
Josh
are that
Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, that's a big reason.
All right, so, I mean, you're Drew Brees. Hey, listen, you know, New Orleans doesn't want you. I know you're leaving Kamara and Michael Thomas and Jared Cook, but come to New England. We've got Bill Belichick. Yeah. Well, who am I throwing to? I will figure that out
later. We get this kid.
We got Josh. We get this kid,
N'Keal Harry. Yeah, he's going to be terrific.
We'll figure that out later. We got Josh McDaniels. You know, great mind. We got Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time. So I'm just wondering, like a free agent quarterback, like obviously there'll be guys out there looking for a job.
Yeah, but Drew Brees is not coming here, Lou. So
No, I get it. I'm just wondering where you are in the pecking order. That's all.
Okay.
If you're
Andy Dalton, do you want to come to New England?
Yes.
Hell yeah. I've been a member of the Cincinnati Bengals.
What if New Orleans is interested in you if you're Andy Dalton? Would you rather go there?
Yeah.
All right, what if the Chargers are interested in you if you're Andy Dalton?
But why would they do that when they already have the replacement for Drew Brees already?
No, I'm just wondering.
Well, he's a free agent, too.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, the other destinations. Would you, I don't know, let's say that the Titans signed Derrick Henry back. Where do you put Tennessee? Would you rather go there?
Yeah, see, I think if you're talking about Drew Brees, you're right. Drew Brees would want to go back to New Orleans. But when we're talking about the field of quarterbacks that are out there, I think New England is going to be one of the top destinations for those guys. Teddy Bridgewater, let's remember, a year ago, guys, had an opportunity to go and be a starter somewhere else. He elected to stay in New Orleans as the backup quarterback because he thought maybe Drew Brees would eventually retire and he would take over. I got to believe that's what they're thinking down there in New Orleans, that they're going to bring Teddy Bridgewater is their guy. He knows the system. He played a lot this past year, played 5-6 games for them. But when you talk about these other guys, Luke, give me one of these guys. If Derek Carr is let go by Oakland, you don't think he wants to come to New England? Andy Dalton doesn't want to come to New England. Tannehill doesn't want to come to New England. I think New England would be one of the top destinations for all of those free agent quarterbacks. Now, none of them are really good.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, I agree. You know, it's New England, it's the Patriots, it's Bill. You're probably still going to be pretty good. But you're a quarterback. How's my offensive line? Well, got some guys coming back from injury, hopefully. I think we got a left tackle. Not sure. We were more excited about him returning than what we actually saw in the field. How's our running back? Yeah, we got Sonny Michel. He's a Jag.
Okay, but what are their alternatives?
How's your tight end situation? We don't have any.
Not yet at the moment.
How about your wide receivers? Well, Edelman's good. You know, he's 32, 33. He's gotten old. He's kind of beat up. He's got a couple surgeries. We got Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but what are your alternatives, though?
No, Tennessee? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. San Diego? I don't know. What do I got there? I don't know. I got pretty good, you know, let's see if they bring back Hunter Henry. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
All I'm saying is just, other than Bill Belichick, what does New England have to sell you? Is that enough? Because if I'm a quarterback, I also want to go and, you know, I can go to New England and probably be 10-6, 9-7, but am I going there short term to go to another team? My number's going to be good because I saw they used Tom. Like, you know, some of these quarterbacks also want to go out there. I understand they want to win. A lot of these guys that have always lost, I get it, and that's probably a big part of it. But they also want to be able to know they got a good offensive line. They got a dynamic running back they can lean on, maybe make his job easier. You know, they got great tight ends who can block and catch. They got a couple electric young wide receivers to work with and grow in the next couple of years. I think New England lacks most of that.
Yeah, I think New England is probably the most attractive for most of those guys on the list. I mean, you talk about Tennessee. Even Tennessee, you could debate and argue that New England is still a better destination, that New England still is pretty damn good and they can win, and they can win with Belichick, and they got Josh McDaniels, and they're going to make some offseason moves. They're going to go and get players or whatever.
For a great quarterback, yeah. I think it's an easy decision. For an older guy that wants to go from one great organization that's competent with ownership and management and head coach, which would be the New Orleans Saints, to another team, you just bridge into another team that's basically pretty similar. That, to me, is easy. Now, you know, all the adjustments that you have to go through are, you know, it's up to you. But the other part of this that I thought was significant, and this Joe Montana, the advice to Tom Brady, how he talks about don't leave the Patriots. He says it's not easy going to another team and get accepted, no matter how much success you've had and how many years you've played. The fans still want you to see you come in and be the same player and be that loyal to them as you were to the other team.
He's so right about that.
So it's not easy for guys looking at that change, especially at the quarterback position. So the fans know, listen, you're only here for a short period of time. Can you accept us? Should we accept you this quickly? You haven't paid your dues. You're like a mercenary. You're just using us to get to another ring. And you wouldn't even be here if they wouldn't have kicked you out. So he says, Montana says, don't if you don't have to. If you can find a way to work it out and make it happen, then good. Because he's right. When you think about the offensive changes, you're telling me that you got to bring, hey, I'm only going to a team that's going to run my offense. The same line calls, the same checks, the same audibles. I don't really want to change anything. So you got to bring somebody who has an understanding, because I'm not going to be the offensive coordinator. Right? Or does he do the Peyton Manning route? And Peyton Manning did it. Peyton Manning was in the same offense forever. He left, went to Denver, and I think he was fine until he got hurt. I mean, he was breaking records, MVP-type years, tons of numbers. If Peyton Manning can do it, if Brett Favre can do it, if all these guys can do it, couldn't he?
I think Brady can do it. But as far as being accepted, Tom Brady's track record over the last 20 years is not going to do him any good going to, let's say, the LA Chargers, all right, as an example. If he fails and he struggles right out of the gate and they're 1-3 or 2-3 out of the gate. It's not going to be like back here in New England,
no, no.
where you've got 20 years of goodwill that's built up. And guess what? Talk show hosts like us are sitting blaming the receivers and blaming guys who can't pick up the system. They're going to blame the quarterback because it's easy to do. Tom Brady's lost it. He's over the hill. Max Kellerman's going to be out there.
What do you think
he's going to be saying?
Field day. Right?
Well, I think it's one of the reasons why you've seen a lot of guys fail, you know, in the Red Sox. But I always thought it was like a baseball thing. But still, it's guys come here, they get big contracts. Even if they have success in the league, when you go to a new team, you are constantly trying to prove to your teammates you're worth it. And they've played against you. They know you're worth it. But still, there's that added pressure. And, you know, if you're 33, 32, you feel like you can do it. At 42, 43, they expect you to be Brady from 6-8 years ago. MVP Tom Brady. Take him to a Super Bowl Tom Brady. So there's even more added pressure on that. And if you don't perform at that level, it starts wearing on you. The media starts getting on you. It's a different experience that, I mean, I don't really think there's anything. Tom Brady sits here and says, well, Joe Montana says I shouldn't leave.
Well, see,
not leaving.
I know, but Peyton Manning didn't have a choice. So you're forced to adjust. You don't want to, but you're forced to. Montana didn't have a choice. Favre didn't have a choice. I mean, I'm trying to think of something like Drew Brees and Brady are basically in the same boat. And I don't think either team,
We don't know if Brady does have a choice.
No, we don't.
I know, but I think in the end, I think Brees and Brady are in similar situations.
Yeah. So if
neither one of them really wants to leave, they would love to make it work here.
So if Brady has a choice, and taking Montana's advice, and he has a choice, and the only thing that pisses him off is that they lied to him last year, or they fibbed and they told him he was going to have weapons and they didn't get them, then you push for the weapons and forget about the money. Forget about the money. And so what's the worst thing that can happen? You're underpaid once again. The community will love it. Patriots Nation will adore you because of it, because they'll sit there and say, Tom took less money so that they could go out and get weapons. He's a hero once again, guys. That's what he is. But I think Montana's right. It's a tough world out there. If he goes out there, everything is much different. He doesn't get the cachet of 20 years of being idolized. He does not.
And I will say that, but maybe he's also in a city that they don't care. But that would make no sense.
Then what good is it?
So teams that would understand his issue, Denver. Denver is it? I would even say,
but it's a fervent.
Vegas.
Denver is a fervent football market.
Yeah, just like Kansas City.
If he's not performing well, he will get criticized. That's what they do in Denver. Denver, they don't sit there and say, "Oh,
I would say
it's our
Denver,
guy."
Denver gets this. People don't know how the fans are. It's very, and the fans are very similar to Boston as far as their allegiance. Because I would say I lived it when John Elway was the quarterback in Denver.
But I'll tell you this.
Peyton Manning, when he went there, you're saying they've already seen an aging quarterback come here? He was pretty damn good that first year.
No, I said that. He was
great.
You know,
it's like, 50-something touchdowns.
He was great.
So you expect that?
He didn't fall off until, it depends on who's he throwing to.
Different team.
Because I think it's 100% possible for him to break records next year if he's got the right cast around him.
But Denver, the people there, the fans know the game. 20, 30 years ago, they understood that if your right tackle wasn't doing his job, then you were going to have difficulty. Here in New England, 20, 30 years ago, they just put everything on the quarterback or the backup quarterback. People didn't understand it. Denver was ahead of New England, ahead of the curve. New England is caught up, obviously, and they know it. But that's a market where you can't just go out there and be Tom Brady, the GOAT. You know what you are right now? You're the GOAT, the different type of GOAT right now. I think he would
there's
take
two different types of GOATs?
Yeah, there's a bad GOAT.
What is a bad GOAT?
Bad GOAT is when you screw up the game. You're the GOAT. You're the GOAT of the game. That's a bad,
a bad GOAT.
You're the sheep. This hour's been brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. We got another hour to go. We get 30 minutes commercial free next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.